You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
So, we had the joint scrimmage yesterday, the joint practice, whatever you want to call it. And to me, and we're going to get to this little breaking news bit in a moment. To me, the story has been, is, and remains with everything else going on, the Cam thing, the Boswell thing. Is the running game any good? What about this history-making defense we're going to see, allegedly? Is Aaron Rodgers still good? Can he still play? And if so, at what level? And I was just sitting here talking with our boss, Craig Riley. This is going to remain a mystery until he goes back to, of all places, New York. Like, I've been asking people, and everybody's kind of muzzled about this practice yesterday. You know, what did Rodgers look like? I don't really care about the results of whatever it was, the 2-minute drill, the whatever that was, and then the seven shots. What did he look like? Is he moving around? Does he look spry? Is he throwing on the run? Does he look in command? All of that. And I don't even know if that would matter. I mean, I'm getting sort of, you know, reports. Yeah, he looked fine. He looked okay. He looked, you know, how much can you tell from that? And that's kind of the point. We're not going to see him in a preseason game. Not that you could tell a ton from that either. This guy is going to remain, you know, all wrapped up in a little box until Mike Tomlin and Artie Smith open that box in the opener in New York. And we have no idea. Nobody does. They can talk all they want out at training camp about how he looks. I would guess, and I'm being serious about here, Ben was at the scrimmage yesterday. He looks like he's in pretty good shape. If you gave Ben a month to ramp up for Latrobe, I bet he would look pretty good out there. I bet he can still sling it. Looks like he's in good shape. Nobody's hitting him. Nobody's scheming against him. We're not going to know anything about Aaron Rodgers until week one. And that to me is the story, and it's a fascinating one. And I think most of us would agree that the Steelers go into the season decidedly third in the quarterback rankings in the AFC North and somewhere around, what, seventh, eighth in the AFC, somewhere in there. And that's if Rodgers plays pretty well. There's a small faction of people nationally that you can find who think he's going to be great. That another year removed from the Achilles, that he's going to regain some of that mobility he had. And that's what I saw last year. That was the big difference between the Aaron Rodgers that I knew from his prime and the guy that we saw in New York, was his ability to avoid people behind the line of scrimmage and move around and make great plays on the run. He didn't look like that to me. Game against Buffalo late in the season, he looked like a punch-drunk boxer. Now, he came back against Miami and played pretty well, but mostly when the competition was good, Rodgers' performance level sunk. He had some good games, he did, but against better comp, it was like Russell Wilson. Against better competition, it just didn't show, you know? And I think like anybody at this stage in their career, great players, there's going to be flashes. There's going to be a game or two where we say, wow, that looked like Aaron Rodgers. Think of Ben late in his career. But can they maintain that level for, you know, 13 out of the 17 games? Man, I don't know. I have no idea. You have no idea. Limits. You have no idea if you're listening out there. And I don't think the Steelers have an idea. They couldn't possibly, because nothing's really live yet, including that thing yesterday. And no national media people know either. And it's not hard to find wildly different opinions on what we're going to see from Aaron Rodgers. The vibes are great. He sounds like he's being nice to everybody, inviting people into his room for, you know, advice and things like that. And question time with Aaron, and everything's been great. Well, let's see week one, when people are trying to hammer him, what happens. Let's see if the running game can help him in week one. And we'll get to that in a minute. But first, this little breaking news from this morning. And I'm looking at SteelersDepot.com, where it's reported that Jalen Ramsey and Darius Slay went on Cam's podcast and that it dropped this morning. And I'm blown away by this. You have two guys. This is like out of the Rowdy Tellez mode here. You have two guys who just got here 2 minutes ago, lobbying the organization to pay Cam. Limits, let me know when you have that. I can just read the quotes in the meantime.
I have it, Joe.
Well, let's hear it. This is Jalen Ramsey and Darius Slay. They got here, you know, a minute ago. They just pulled up and joined the Steelers. And now they're going to tell the organization who to pay and lobby on Cam's behalf. Let's take a listen.
We can't wait to be on that field with you week one after, you know, everything go down, everything gets situated, everything.
You helped great. TJ out.
We need all of y'all out there, man. Mr. Omar.
Yeah.
Man, I got a lot of respect for you, Mr. Omar. You taking care of me, TJ, Slay.
You know what I'm saying?
Cam is next. We excited, man. We got potential to do something great if we got all our guys out there happy and feeling like they're valued. You know, I know a little something about, you know,
yeah,
feeling valued and getting what you deserve. So,
yeah.
I'm with you.
Great. Great. So Jalen Ramsey is here now telling Omar what they need and what to do. And Cam has these guys on his podcast, it would seem quite clearly, to stump for him. And then Slay also came on. And I quote, and this quote again comes via Steelers Depot, via Cam's podcast, saying to Cam, this is Slay, you took a big toll on me coming here. I'm assuming there was some lobbying for him to come here. So we need you out there like now. Tell them to stop playing right now. That's what Slay says. Guys who just walked in the door are saying, hey, let's get this done. Come on, let's go. Let's get this done. Come on, Omar. Stop playing, Art. Let's give this guy what he wants. And clearly, you hear Cam thanking Jalen in the background there. he's having these guys on to stump for him. And I don't think it's going to work. I think pretty much everything Cam does these days backfires. I mean, and two people we talked to this week, Limits, both were of the opinion that it was Cam who leaked this story to Adam Schefter. Batko told us that, and Kabali. Am I right about that?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we're kind of in belief that it's the Steelers that did it, especially with the timing of when that dropped and when Boswell dropped. And plus, would public sentiment be on Cam's side? Clearly not.
Well, if it was Cam, he radically misevaluated the situation. And I don't think that having his teammates on, especially fresh and new ones on, to stump for him is going to sit real well either. By the way, has Cam fired his agent yet? Do we know that? Because this all started last year, and Doug Whaley, I thought, said it well on Wednesday, that Cam's representation failed him last year. Like, he lost the PR battle in a big way last year. And that's why I thought when this story broke, one of the first thoughts I had was, why is this happening in secret? Like, Cam is a very talkative, gregarious guy with his own podcast who can tell anybody he wants anything he wants anytime he wants. Why was he keeping this hold in and this issue a secret? And the obvious answer to me was because he lost badly the PR battle last year, and he figures that if this news gets out, it's going to backfire even worse. And I still believe that. I believe the Steelers leaked this to win the PR battle. For one, I don't think Cam did. And if he did, he again, him and his representation just completely misjudged this. And I don't think this is going to work for him either at all. And again, I ask the question, because we also heard from people this week, and it seems to be the general idea, well, this is easy. You just borrow from the guaranteed money for Cam next year and add that as your little sweetener this year. Get that $13 million bonus, the $14 million something overall, up around 20. So he's in the top five for people at his position or thereabouts. Case solved. Situation settled. It's easy. Well, then why hasn't it happened yet? And nobody has an answer for me there. The only thing I know for sure in this situation is that Cam has misevaluated every step of the way. Him and the people representing him, and they failed him last year, because Doug Whaley's right, and many other people we've heard are 100% right, that he either should have been on himself and said, you guys aren't going to give me, you know, really any new money here. You're not going to give me a pay cut. You asked me to. We're not doing that. But you're not going to give me any real security beyond this year. None of the money was guaranteed. And you're not giving me a ton of new money. Fine. I'll play this year. That's it. 1 year deal. That's all we're doing. Or, as Whaley said, he should have tried to make it, or they should have tried to make it, an incentive-laden deal where, oh, you don't think I'm still an all-pro? You'll see. I'll put my money where my mouth is, will you? That type of thing. None of that happened. He wound up signing a bad deal. And a lot of people, maybe not without reason, think he should stick to it. And now he's trying everything we can. And quite frankly, I don't want to hear about from Jalen Ramsey or Darius Slay. You know what I want from those two? To cover people. You know what I want from this defense? To shut up and play. Because for the 8 millionth time, the last time we saw these guys, they were getting historically humiliated by their arch rival. Okay, they've added some new players, and now all of them talking about how they're going to be special, and the head coach saying, you know, when I say big, big things, I mean historic things. That's coming from the head coach, a guy whose team hasn't even been competitive in a playoff game for nearly a decade.
So Doran's been quizzing me all morning long on some of the quarterbacks that were throwing him passes in preseason games. Preseason game one, Doran 3 for 38. Dan Orlovsky throwing him the ball. 2012 preseason game two, Vince Young throwing him the ball. I like this game.
I got some more for you, too.
You want to do one now with Chris?
Well, let me find the best one.
Okay. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette joins us right now on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Good morning to you, Chris. Did you remember that Vince Young was a Bill? Because I did not.
I did not. I got to be honest.
Did you remember that Dan Orlovsky was a Texan? Because I did not.
I did not either. Wow.
See, we teach people things on this show.
All right, I have a good one.
I'm learning a lot right now.
I have a good one for you guys. Let me pull this up right here. Let's see who can get it first. Let me get this. Here it is, right here. Okay. 2013.
Okay.
Week 3 of the preseason. I'm with the Buffalo Bills. We're playing the Washington Redskins at the time. Who was the second leading receiver for the Buffalo Bills with 3 catches for 21 yards?
T.O.
No.
Damn it.
You said 2013?
Yes.
Who's the guy?
Did he make the team?
Yes, he did. He was a draft pick.
Who's the guy who?
Would have been Robert Woods?
Yes, sir.
Darn it.
Good job. Yes, sir. Robert Woods.
I was just thinking this might be Steeler related. That was the only way I got that.
Yes, sir.
Who was the guy? See, I thought it was Steelers related, too. I was going to go Stevie Johnson, the guy who dropped the ball.
He led the team in receiving that game, yeah.
He dropped that ball in overtime and then blamed God.
That was the funniest tweet. That was like the first tweet that made me laugh so hard. He was like, "Why, God? Why have you forsaken me?" That was a hilarious one.
Must have been the sickest man in America. Although we're hearing reports that maybe that was Jalen Ramsey yesterday. I don't know if you talked to anybody that could confirm that, Chris. But what did you hear from guys about what happened in yesterday's joint practice? Because you're not allowed to report what you saw with your own two eyes. You got to do it the goofy way.
No, we did a good old fashioned journalism. I'll say Emeka Egbuka was more than happy to tell us everything that happened in practice. he said that he told us how Jalen McMillan caught a tip pass from Jalen Ramsey. Off of Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey tipped it in the air. McMillan caught it and got a first down. And then Mike Evans caught a touchdown past Jalen Ramsey for the touchdown to end the 2-minute drill. And the Buccaneers offense won 7-4-3. Now I didn't see that. And I don't know if like the first team won a lot and then the second team caught up or anything like that. I did watch the Steelers offense and got it confirmed from Pat Freiermuth that they won 6-1 in 7 shots.
Now, was that the first team?
What'd you say?
Was that the first team?
So it was the first 3 plays of the first team, but all 3 plays they scored. Well, 2 plays they scored, and 1 play they threw it up to Darnell Washington, and they just like dragged him down. So the ref was like, "You can't do that." No. So they counted that as a win for the Steelers.
So what are your biggest takeaways from that practice then? And what does it really mean in the grand scheme of things, in your opinion?
Not a whole lot with one. Mike Evans historically has given Jalen Ramsey problems, so like that's not a shocker. But one thing Emeka Egbuka even admitted to us, he was like, they played zone all practice, and like they're not going to be playing a lot of zone this year. So I think the Steelers were experimenting a lot on defense. On offense, the biggest thing I still have yet to see from this offensive line is them just put their feet in the dirt and just push people off the ball to create space in the run game. I just haven't seen that yet that much in practice or in preseason games or joint practice. Granted, there's only been one preseason game, and this offensive line's young. It takes time to coalesce and figure those types of things out. I will say they have gotten a lot sharper at identifying and picking up blitzes, and that's a very good sign. But they need to come together as a group. If this team wants to run the ball, this offensive line has to get more physical at the point of attack and more coordinatedly physical at the point of attack. That's something we haven't seen yet.
There's some split differences, I guess, on Caleb Johnson's performances, Chris, from Saturday. From what you heard from his performance yesterday and, you know, him moving forward, what do you think that is the issue maybe right now with Caleb Johnson? Is it just being a rookie? Is it nerves? Or is it something that people should be monitoring or and being worried about.
It's something that Mike Tomlin told us, and Mike Tomlin told him. He's like, hey, just trust yourself right now, man. You be instinctual. Trust your instincts when you're feeling a holes there. It's that thing that people don't understand when people like cut up tape on like preseason running back football. And I'm like, guys, when it's a rookie running back and it's a new offensive line, they have to figure out their rhythm. It's not just simple vision all the time. It takes time to develop that vision. You know, for example, Rashard Mendenhall, people thought that guy had no vision for years because the Steelers had a bad offensive line. Then he got 1 year with Marquise Pouncey, and all of a sudden he was running all over the place. It was a huge reason they even got to the Super Bowl in 2010 because of that. You know, it took time for Le'Veon Bell to become the superstar that he did as a running back as he started to feel out the Steelers' offensive line. But it takes chemistry, and that's something that Caleb Johnson, we even talked with him back in rookie camp months ago when he was talking about, like, hey, like, you know, one thing I had on my side in Iowa is that all those linemen basically grew up with me there. And so we knew each other. I knew when this guy blocked this way, I'm cutting that way. And that's just relationships that he has to form with this Steelers offensive line. Now, good thing for him, he's a rookie. Broderick Jones is in his third year. Troy Fautanu, Zach Frazier, Mason McCormick all in their second year. There's time for them to build that rapport. So it's not going to happen right away. It's why I also think it's going to be interesting. I think Aaron Rodgers in the passing game early on this season is going to be very important while they figure out the run game. That's going to take time to figure it out. I think it's still going to be there. They're still going to make good plays in the run game. They're not going to be non-existent, but they're not going to be dominant. And if they become dominant this year, it might take until like October, November for them to start figuring some things out, which schemes work best for them. And I think that's the other thing. Arthur Smith is figuring out what run concepts work best with this group. Is it outside zone, inside zone, you know, traps, different things like that. I've seen them pull Broderick Jones inside and him actually do pretty well. So I think they're just testing a lot of things out right now.
So you say realistically it could be until October, November before this running game hits on all cylinders. What would it take for Caleb Johnson, do you think, to take over as RB1? Because, I mean, I feel pretty damn confident right now Jaylen Warren is cemented in that spot, at least for the time being.
I think it would take a few things. One, I think it would take a Jaylen Warren injury and then Caleb Johnson going off in the absence of the injury. I don't think they're just going to take it away from Jaylen Warren just out of nowhere. Or if Jaylen Warren starts fumbling the football. Like, this job right now is Jaylen Warren's to lose. They trust him. They like him a lot. But at the same time, they know that Caleb Johnson, they picked him to be the future for a reason, and they're trusting that. But Jaylen Warren, last year, he didn't protect the football too well. If he doesn't protect the football well in this year, he's got a young guy behind him I've seen him drop passes. But since rookie camp, I have not seen Caleb Johnson let the ball from his grasp once he possesses it. And I think that's something he said he was going to do, prove all throughout camp, and he's lived up to that. We are now through OTAs, mini camp, and training camp, and a joint practice and a preseason game, and he's yet to fumble the football, at least when I've watched him. So I think that's something that Mike Tomlin loves, is protecting the football.
Chris, if you were to bet, would you bet on Cam Hayward signing a contract or an extension or getting new money before the Steelers signing a receiver? Which one would you bet happens first? Signing a receiver or Cam Hayward getting new money?
Now, does this have to be like a really good receiver, or can it just be like a random receiver that they just pick up in free agency for that's like meh?
Somebody that we know. A name that it's like, oh yeah, I know that guy.
Like Amari Cooper.
Yes.
I would go with Cam first. And I think because, honestly, and we talked about this last week, I don't think this is the big deal that it's being made out to be. I think that, you know, him holding in, we didn't even notice him holding in because Cam wasn't going to practice a whole lot in this training camp anyways. And each day, people are like, oh, he's not even helping the team. Each day, he's right with the defensive lineman. Derek Harmon's told us several times over training camp, hey, man, like, he's always in our ear. He's always helping him. And like even like before 7 shots or before 11 on 11, I see him like talking to the D line, being like, hey, let's do this. Let's do that. Let's get out here. Let's get this done. And so he's very much involved. There's not any distraction or animus between him and the players or him and the team. I think it's just, hey, Cam feels like when they negotiated that deal last year, they thought that he might be done because of the injury he suffered the year before. When he said, hey, I'm going to get first team all pro. When I come back, I'm going to want more money. They weren't sure that that was going to happen. It did happen. Now he's saying, hey, I don't think Cam Hayward needs Chris Jones money. I think he just wants, hey, put me in the top 15 paid defensive tackles and I'm happy, because right now he's 22nd. So that's why I think that's just going to happen first. I do think they try to make some sort of move for a wide receiver, But I do. I also think that if Jonnu Smith comes back by the end of preseason and looks healthy, and they get Calvin Austin back, they might be content to say, you know what, we'll sign someone that's like just not that big of a signing as like another depth piece. But they really like this tight end room. I think Roman Wilson's come on strong the last couple of weeks. We just got to see how this continues to develop.
Just to keep it on D-line for a second, this can be quick, but were you told that Y.A. Black was there? I know he had his elbow all bundled up the other day.
I was told he was there, but he did not practice. He did not have the elbow pad on, though, so it looks like he might have been making progress, according to the people I talked to there.
Very good. And Roman Wilson, whom you mentioned, look, you'd like Calvin Austin to be out there, and it sounds like he's not going to play in the preseason. He's definitely not going to play tomorrow night. But you said the arrow's been pointed up on Roman Wilson. We saw him make a catch and take a hit. Made two catches, in fact, on Saturday night. Have you been pleasantly surprised by Roman Wilson and what he's been able to bring to the table in Calvin's absence?
You know, if Roman Wilson had started training camp playing really well, I wouldn't have been surprised. But when we didn't see him make plays for the first couple of weeks, then I was starting to be like, uh-oh, is this a problem? And then when he did start to make plays, like, okay, there he is. And so it was kind of the surprise was, all right, there finally we get to see it. But I thought this was interesting. I asked Mike Tomlin yesterday before the practice, how has Roman Wilson dealt with the opportunity? He always talks about when a guy goes down, it's someone else's opportunity to shine, and talk about the opportunity of Calvin Austin being down. And Mike Tomlin even dismissed this. He was like, Roman's not taking advantage of that because he was going to be doing this anyways. And like he kind of said it like it, Calvin Austin's injury has no bearing on how much Roman Wilson's getting right now. And so to me, that shows that there's a little bit of faith in Roman Wilson right now from the Steelers coaching staff that he's going to be a bigger contributor than people realize. And when I say people, I mean even myself, because I still saw him as the third receiver behind Calvin Austin, and maybe he still technically is. But it seems to me, at least when you talk to Tomlin and you talk to this team, like there's a confidence that Roman Wilson's going to be a more involved part of this offense than many of us assumed a few weeks ago.
Chris, this was delightful. Thank you for talking people so that you can confirm what your eyes saw. And we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, buddy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Cam Hayward is going to be at this game. He's not going to play, but we watched the Jacksonville game on Saturday. He was still on the sideline. He was around Mike Tomlin. He's not excommunicated from the team. He's not hiding. He's not staying away from the team. He's not in a box. He's on the sideline. So I'm interested in hearing how fans would treat Cam Hayward if they were at the game tomorrow. Never mind, you don't have actually have to have tickets. This isn't for just like the 25,000 fans who are going to the game. But if you were there and you were up against the tunnel where the Steelers come out onto the field and you saw Cam Hayward, what would you do? 412-928-9370. Because I hope you wouldn't boo and say awful things about him. And I clearly can tell that that's how a lot of you feel right now. But one of the things I keep thinking about throughout this whole contract stalemate is I really don't think a guy goes from acting like a complete model citizen and then some for 14 years and then in year 15 turns into an a-hole. For 14 years, Cam Hayward is the guy who Steelers fans say he's a true Steeler. He embodies everything that's right about the Steelers. That locker room needs more Cam Haywards in it. That locker room needs guys that are about football, that are about winning or trying to win, chase winning, doing everything they can to win, and not guys that are about themselves. Fewer George Pickens, more Cam Haywards. The guy who will bust his ass and when a running back breaks loose and is 30 yards downfield, here comes Cam Hayward chugging along to make a tackle. He was a beloved Steeler. Not just by fans, but the organization viewed him that way. He was nominated for the Man of the Year award a million times. He finally won it a couple years ago. He is a revered and respected person. And he got out of bed in February and turned into an a-hole because he wanted more money. 412-928-9370. The other thing I keep coming back to is this. If Cam Hayward said at that press conference that he told the Steelers, if I have an all-pro season, I want to come back to the negotiating table. And I've heard a lot of people, both fans and people on this station, hosts like me, and other people that have covered this story say, well, why didn't Cam Hayward just negotiate that into his deal? Why not have the contract write an incentive in there? If you have an all-pro season in 2026, you're going to make, or in 2025, excuse me, you're going to make $25 million or something like that. And I've heard a lot of people, including, and I'll even like assign some blame to myself here. That's been said as if it would be like an easy as pie transaction. And this is my opinion, but the more I think about that in particular, I don't think the Steelers would have done that. And I don't think the Steelers would have done that for this reason. Find me a Steelers player contract that has incentives in it. They don't do it. They don't do it. TJ Watt doesn't have Defensive Player of the Year incentives. Aaron Rodgers, you know, has, you know, he's $13 million. He's got some, you know, Super Bowl clause in there now. But go look at the history of the Steelers and find me guys. Did Antonio Brown have 1,500-yard incentives, things like that? No. So at the time they were negotiating that deal, go find me the last time there was a performance clause in a contract that triggered it for a player. So that's just my opinion. I think it would have been... I don't think that that's just a, okay, you want this, Cam? Fine, we're putting it in your deal. Because there's not a history of the Steelers doing that. Now, I don't think that that decision is as popular, or not popular is the wrong word. I don't think it's as well known as, oh, they don't negotiate deals 2 years away, or, you know, they don't do guaranteed money beyond the first year, or they don't negotiate contracts in season. But they're loath to put player incentives in deals. And this isn't just like, you know, with Rod, I brought up Rodgers. You know, I think Rodgers has some things in there where, like, hey, you get extra money for this year if you win the MVP or go to the Super Bowl. He doesn't have an incentive like, hey, if you win MVP, you actually now have a 2026 year on your, you know, a contract for 2026 kicks in and you're going to get paid $40 million in 2026. So it's not even a player. It's bigger than a player incentive. It's actually like increasing his salary for the next year, which I don't think they've ever done before. So there have obviously been huge criticisms out there about Cam Hayward and the way he's gone about his business. And I guess he could have said, this is a bad deal. I'm going to play 2024 as my last season. I'm going to bet on myself. And if I have a great year, then I'll go into free agency, or you'll have to negotiate with me and I'll make more money then. And so if you want to crucify him for that, by all means. But I have empathy for a guy who's the blood and guts player that Cam Hayward has been his entire career. And I still think that this is not really that tough of a thing to fix. Give him $5 million or thereabouts from next year. Get his earnings for the year closer to $20 million. And go play football. And if the Steelers do that, if they give him that extra money, who is it hurting? Who does it hurt? It's not taking money out of your contract. They have ample cap space to do it. I went back and looked this up. When the Steelers gave Antonio Brown, when they actually moved up some of his money from, I think it was 2016 into 2015, they saved money against the cap. So there's not like a cap element to this where it's going to bungle things or tie things up for the Steelers. He is a one-of-one player. How many guys have played defensive line who have been playing at the very best inside the entire sport, not just the Steelers' best defensive tackle? He was one of two first-team defensive tackles in the entire NFL last year. So this is a unique situation because it's like unprecedented. This doesn't happen. And the Steelers never probably thought it would happen that Cam Hayward coming off that injury last year would be this good right now. But he is. So he's been a pillar off the field. He's been amazing on the field. If you just move up a few million dollars, can't we get back to football and let this go away and be done with it? 412-928-9370. And how are fans going to how would you treat him as a fan tomorrow night if you were there? Would you actually have the balls to boo Cam Hayward?
Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. I'm out of Studio B in Monroeville, and we're trying to decipher the mystery that was the Steelers' joint practice with Tampa Bay yesterday. Ray Fittipaldo comes on to help us do that. Read Ray's stuff at postgazette.com. And yes, Everybody loves Raymond. Ray, it's some of these deleted tweets that truly have my attention from yesterday. Rick Stroud had a couple of those from out in Tampa. I'm not even sure at this point which ones were deleted and which ones weren't. Doesn't really matter to me now. He said that Todd Bowles told him Mayfield and Evans played so well yesterday that he doesn't need to see either on Saturday in the game. He tweeted that Mike Evans couldn't be covered and won most of his battles with Jalen Ramsey, and that the Steelers' secondary did not look good. How much of that can you confirm?
Yeah, well, that's interesting because, the Tampa reporters were told what the rules were, but obviously they don't have those same rules down there. I actually think it's funny. We go through this every year. I wouldn't say it was a great day for the Steelers. I thought it started okay for the Steelers offense. Didn't end well for the offense, and I thought the defense probably just – let's just say they pretty much struggled all day in coverage. That's probably a good way to put it. So all the talk about the corners and what they're going to do this year certainly can still come to fruition. I mean, you're going to have a pass rush in games, and you're going to do different things in games. But for one day, I think Tampa probably won that scrimmage in fairly easy fashion, I would say.
And just out of curiosity, Ray, before we move on, I'll call it protectiveness paranoia on the Steelers' part, and maybe the Bucs' part too, I don't know, is about what with these scrimmages? That scheme type information's going to get out, or what? Why are they so concerned about you reporting that? If somebody reported, "Hey, Aaron Rodgers looked great running around out there," and made some nice throws on the run. How does that compromise anybody schematically?
I think they're more concerned about reporting who's running with the first team, second team. How are they deploying their personnel? What types of packages? I think they're much more concerned with that than saying Aaron Rodgers rolled right and picked DK Metcalf for a touchdown. But, what the Tampa Bay reporter did do that was fine, Stroud, what he did calling Todd Bowles and having Todd Bowles confirm that, that's within the rules. You just got to get a coach or a player to confirm what happened on the field yesterday. So I'm sure some of those tweets are still up, but apparently some are down too. I didn't know that, but that's pretty funny.
Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's what led the show today, because we can sit here and talk about Cam Hayward, and we will, and the running game and the secondary and the boastful words from everybody about this defense and a trillion different things and Broderick Jones. The season, at least to my way of thinking, boils down to Aaron Rodgers, and it's like it's still like a total mystery, and he's not going to play in a preseason game, it looks like. It's going to be unwrapped in New York in the season opener. The little bit that you saw of him yesterday and generally, how does he look? Is he moving around? And what can you tell us that you're allowed to tell us about Rodgers?
I'll just talk generally about what I've seen throughout training camp. I think when you get in goal-to-go situations, their so-called seven-shot drill, they do pretty much every day during training camp. I thought he and the first team offense represented themselves very well, both against the Steelers and against the Bucs yesterday. That was confirmed by players on the field yesterday. I think Rodgers and the first team offense were three for three from the 2-yard line. I think where maybe some of the struggles took place in training camp was more middle of the field stuff, maybe some stuff with, the 2-minute drill not always working out. There were some occasions at training camp, Joe, where they would swiftly move the ball down the field in the 2-minute drill, and then there would be a pick at the end or in a complete pass, and then, they couldn't get it done. So I don't know what the scorecard said for the entirety of training camp, but I think the defense held them out more than, the offense got in on the 2-minute drill. So, certainly some things to be encouraged about, the goal-to-go situations, and then some things to work on if you want to talk about the 2-minute drill and you know, some of the stuff when you're operating in the middle of the field.
It seems one clear concern that even Mike Tomlin in some ways alluded to by sort of challenging Caleb Johnson yesterday. I can't find anybody who covers the team that tells me the running game is progressing nicely. What can you say about that?
It's not. The blocking is certainly a part of it. And Isaac Seumalo hasn't been around much during training camp. I think he's going to be fine for the regular season, but they've been very careful with him. So that's part of it. But you heard Mike Tomlin and Andy White will talk yesterday just about how Caleb has to trust himself. And I think that happens sometimes with rookies. Maybe you're nervous in your first game or you're nervous in your first training camp and, you know, you're trying to do everything right, but sometimes you're just swimming in all the information. And I think Caleb is going through that right now. So, not a great first performance against the Jaguars. And, he was challenged by his head coach yesterday, and let's see how he responds on Saturday night.
What's your opinion of Jaylen Warren as, you know, a so-called bell cow type of back?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a bell cow, but I think he's firmly entrenched as RB1. He does everything. He can run the ball. He's their best receiver out of the backfield among the running backs. And he's their best pass protector. And Kenneth Gainwell is right behind him as a receiver out of the backfield. I mean, Gainwell and Warren are right there, 1-2. You know, Gainwell has made plays all over the place. So I think they're going to use all these guys. I think early in the season you'll see Jaylen maybe not even come off the field. And then you'll see some Gainwell sprinkled in. Then I think you'll see some Caleb Johnson sprinkled in, on first downs. Yeah, probably not on passing situations, but I think you'll see him in there when they want to run the ball a little bit. So they're all going to have different roles, but just the way that Caleb has struggled in pass pro and as a receiver out of the backfield tells me they're not going to trust him too much to put him in there in passing situations.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette joining us. All right, let's move on to Cam Hayward then. And we have a clip to play for you, Ray. I don't know if you know, but this morning Cam's podcast dropped for the week, and it's part of it is Jalen Ramsey and Darius Slay on there stumping for Cam, saying basically, come on, let's pay the guy. This is Jalen Ramsey from Cam's podcast this morning.
We can't wait to be on that field with you week one after, you know, everything go down, everything gets situated, everything.
You helped TJ out.
We need all of y'all out there, man. Mr. Omar.
Yeah.
Man, I got a lot of respect for you, Mr. Omar. You taking care of me, TJ, Slay.
You know what I'm saying?
Cam is next. We excited, man. We got potential to do something great if we got all our guys out there happy and feeling like they're valued. You know, I know a little something about, feeling valued and getting what you deserve. So.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you.
And then Slay went on to say, basically, stop playing here. Let's get him signed. What do you make of new guys sort of walking in and lobbying on Cam's behalf with a new organization?
Yeah, I think players are always going to have player backs. I don't care if you're the number 90 guy on the 90-man roster or, number one like Jalen Ramsey. That's always going to be the case. You know, the one thing I'm struck by, Joe, throughout this process, like former GMs like Doug Whaley and former agents like Joel Corey, who works for CBS, I don't know if you saw what Joel said, they're both putting this on the agent. There was no reason for Cam Hayward to sign a one-year contract if he wanted to play on a one-year prove-it deal, which is basically what he's asking to do. So you don't usually see like people in the agent business come out and say, yeah, this was a mistake. And like even for a guy like Doug to put it on an agent, you know, Doug might want to get back into things eventually. You want to keep those relationships. So the fact that those guys are so outspoken on how this was mishandled by the agent, I think speaks volumes. And just when you look at it, just from, a fan perspective or from a journalist perspective, he signed a 3-year contract. He wants to come back after 1 year and redo the deal or get more money guaranteed to him when he could have just signed a 1 year deal. So I, you know, unfortunately for Cam, I think the Steelers are going to wait a while to see if he comes back. And then if he doesn't, they might try to sweeten it before the season starts, but they're not going to renegotiate this deal and give him a new contract. The only solution is maybe advancing him a little bit of next year's roster bonus, which is probably a last resort for the Steelers.
Well, it sounded like Cam alluded to that too and said he'd be okay with that. It seems like such an easy solution to take some of that non-guaranteed money from next year and, you know, sprinkle it on top of this year's. So why hasn't it happened yet? And could this get real ugly? Could you picture Cam sitting a game or two?
I can't picture Cam doing that. He's a team captain. I think something would be done before it ever got to that point. And I don't think the Steelers want to set the precedent. Now, I know there was a precedent set with AB back in the day. I think it was 8 years ago or so when they did something similar to him. But they don't want to be in the business of doing this if somebody outperforms a contract. They would be doing it every single year. And you know, the one other thing you have to mention about this is I think they're like 18 or 20 million under the cap. They got room to maneuver. But if Cam wants 7-8 million, you still have to maybe go get a number two receiver if Calvin Austin doesn't come back from this injury soon. I mean, you do have to have a little bit of wiggle room with that salary cap. So if they do intend on going out and getting a receiver, it's not going to be cheap. So that might be part of this whole process as well.
Ray, can they, the money that they've already paid him in that roster bonus, the 13 plus million, can they try to take some of that money back? Can they start fining him?
They can't fine him now because he's in camp.
Yeah.
So the only way they would start fining him is if he skipped during the regular season, and then he would also miss game checks. But the interesting thing, Joe, is he's on a $1.3 million salary. So prorated, that's like, what, $75,000, $80,000 a game, which he might be willing to sacrifice.
Right, because he has his money.
He has his money. So I don't know what the daily fines or the weekly fines would be from the team. You know, those could certainly add up. But, you know, if he wanted to take a stand, I think he could do it because of the salary. I just don't think he would do it because of what his number one, he's a captain. But number two, I think when you start doing that, you kind of go into Le'Veon Bell territory. And I don't think if something didn't get resolved there, I don't think Cam would want to be remembered that way.
So merely the fact that he's in camp, even if he refuses to actually practice,
right,
as long as he's in camp, they can't fine him. In other words, if I show up to camp, I can say, no, I'm not taking part in any practices. I'm not going to practice. Right. Even in the week leading up to the opener, could he do that without them fining him?
That is correct. They cannot fine you.
That's not a form of insubordination at all?
No, I mean, that's a quirk in the CBA that maybe the owners might want to fix the next time around, but it's been an effective tool for players. T.J. Watt did it a few years ago, Joe. He held out until the Friday before the opener. They got that deal done, and then he was good to go. He wasn't fined or anything like that. Deontay Johnson did it a few years ago.
I know they weren't fined. I'm wondering if that option is open, though. It's one thing to say, yeah, we're not going to choose to fine you. It's another one to say, yeah, we could if you refuse to practice, but you're telling me it's not even an option.
Only during the regular season, Joe, but I will double check that once I get off the air. And if I'm wrong, I will let you know. But I think it's only during the season that they can fine you for a holdout. What they're doing now during the offseason, being present, going to meetings, being a hold in, they cannot fine you for that.
All right, Ray, we're going to move right into a game of free association if Limits gives his blessing. Limits, may I do that?
You are blessed, Joe.
Here we go. I got a lot of them, Ray. That's why we're starting it early today. You ready?
I am ready.
Aaron Rodgers will be a top 5, top 10, top 15, or below 15 quarterback this year.
I will say top 15.
Over under 5.5 touches for Caleb Johnson in the opener.
I will go, that's actually a pretty good number. I will go over.
Who wins the punting battle, Ray?
Cam Johnston.
Broderick Jones will be a great, good, average, or below average player this season.
I'll say average with a chance to be good.
Who's going to be the worst player on that offensive line?
The worst player? I mean, it's not going to be Frazier or Fautanu. Say Amalu's established. I mean, I like Mason McCormick, but if you're talking about ranking him 1 through 5, like if Jones plays to his potential, yeah, probably McCormick would come in at number 5. But, Jones has to go out there and prove it. He was not one of their better linemen last year. You can make the argument he was their worst. So he's got some work to do.
Are they going to bring in another receiver before camp is, or before the preseason ends?
Depends on Calvin Austin's injury. And Austin's been out for more than 2 weeks now. So keep an eye on that. That's to be determined.
When will the Cam Hayward situation resolve?
I'm going to go with game week, Jets.
Interesting. Boswell before that?
I don't know that Boswell gets done at all. I think they're going to take care of Boswell after the season.
Interesting. Will that cause an issue?
Did Jalen Ramsey and Darius Slay do that for Boswell too, or just for Cam?
I don't think so. I don't think Boswell came up in that conversation, because remember, Ray, they're about to be one of the greatest defenses of all time, so they want all their guys out there for that, right?
Boswell's got to get his own podcast, I guess.
I think. All right, Ray, thank you. We'll talk to you.
All right, Joe. See you.
That's Ray Fittipaldo. Up next, how about that Boswell take at the end? I didn't expect that. Did you, Limits, that this won't happen this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's been so quiet, Joe. I kind of feel like that nothing is going to ultimately get done, especially because, you know, he's a kicker. We know how good Boswell is. He arguably was their MVP last year.
You don't think he'll get a sweetener or anything this year? I think he will.
I think it's possible that they give him another million. It's not much of a sweat off their back, but it doesn't seem like much of a priority compared to Cam.
I don't know. It's hard for me to tell what's going on over there. But I think Ray meant a new contract, and I agree. Neither one of them's getting a new contract.
No.
That doesn't happen for non-quarterbacks. When they have more than 1 year left on their deal, it just doesn't. All right. I'm very excited about the next guest, Seth Wickersham, ESPN senior writer. He has a new book out called American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. And it's about, for one thing, the fact that only 10 or so people in the world can do this at a really high level at one time. How is it that it's such an exclusive position and so hard to play? Like, what are the keys to becoming a great quarterback? I want to ask him about Aaron Rodgers. I want to ask him about next year's quarterback class. And I also want to ask Seth about a piece he did, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago on ESPN about Spygate and how that impacted the Steelers. All of that with Seth Wickersham. Next, Ray Fittipaldo was brought to you by the Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team for over 90 years, lgkg.com. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Ray also was on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Listen to this. On Tuesday, August 26th, it's FanDuel Futures Day, a new holiday for football fans. 24 hours of deals on all your favorite football season predictions. Take a flyer on the MVP race, right? I may go back to Jordan Love again, although he had that little hand issue. It sounds like he'll be ready 100% for the opener. I don't want to just make the obvious pick. I'm wondering if Christian McCaffrey is ready to go here this season. Might that be a dark horse pick? Crown your champion in August. thinking maybe the Ravens. Perhaps you don't want to hear that, but that might be true.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, Jeff Hathorn joins us now.
This training camp update is brought to you by Smale Kia Greensburg and by Schleideck and New Flow Men's Health.
I like covering the sponsor's backside there. Training camp's over. I don't know if we're supposed to play those or not, Harry. Did you even know training camp was over, Harry? I'm asking honestly.
I did, but I thought I was supposed to run through the preseason. That's what I was told, so.
Hey, run it. Why not? Hi, Jeff.
What's up, boys? It's nice not to be on somebody's forehead today.
That is true.
Out of context, Jeff, that's a very funny statement that you make there.
Yes. Yeah.
Jeff, just your takeaways from Steelers camp. Maybe give us a couple that you walked away going, okay, maybe we didn't know about this and now we do, or maybe a couple of things that you thought you knew about, but maybe you don't.
I mean, I can't mention training camp without saying, you know, Jalen Ramsey's a bad man. The difference is amazing when he's in that secondary and all the things that he can do in that secondary and seamless. Like normally you're moving guys around, there's going to be some type of issue, but it just had been seamless. Darnell Washington, how smooth he looks this year compared to previous years. I mean, we saw it a little bit in OTAs, but it's OTAs. But he get, you know, not only is catch the ball, he can turn and make a move, and that's different. The way I think everybody had it wrong with Aaron Rodgers and what he was going to be like. What he turned out to be was just a cool dude who was interested in getting to know people, that would give grief to anybody, but could take it. That was wanted accountability, but also admitted mistakes, mean, I think we all had a perception of him based on comments from McAfee's show. And then what we found out, and then, you know, obviously it felt a little better once you saw the offense get a little rhythm in the last couple of days.
Jeff, are you going to be at practice today? Are you allowed?
Yeah.
Okay, you will be at practice today. Okay, so who of that didn't play last week? Now, Mike Tomlin is going to speak at 1 p.m., I believe, today to tell us who is going to play and who isn't going to play. But of last week who didn't play, who would you want to see play on Saturday just to get a look at against the Buccaneers?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see Jalen get in there, just to see him behind the offensive line, get a little work together. Not that we need to see him, but that's somebody I would like to see. I mean, in an ideal world, I'd like to see, you know, DK Metcalf catch a couple of passes from Aaron, but I don't think Aaron's going to play. Maybe Metcalf goes a little bit. We won't see Janu because he's been dealing with an injury. You know, maybe Peyton Wilson and Patrick Queen together a little bit, see how that looks in a practice. I mean, we're talking about the game. In practice today, we're going to see them all.
Right.
I mean, today we're going to see everybody who's healthy. And Aaron told us, you know, last week that he gets more out of this because he thinks teams are willing to show more of their defenses or offenses because there aren't public eyes on it. Like, we're not allowed to report on any of it. If there is tape, it's only the team looking at it, and I'm sure they have some kind of agreement not to, you know, let any of that out. So they're willing to not game plan against each other, but show some exotic looks that you're not going to see in the preseason. And let's see how this offense looks against there. And listen, it's a good Tampa Bay defensive line. It'll be physical. Let's see how that O-line holds up.
Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Jeff, I don't want to jinx anything because I was talking a lot of junk on him early in camp. This is, to me, the biggest story. I know Ramsey, I know Rodgers, I know Cam, which we'll get to. But Broderick Jones, after an inauspicious start, seems like arrow pointed up. Is that what you saw?
Yeah, and, you know, Pat Meyer told us the other day that it was as much about the soft tissue injury as anything. Given the way that he's improved since he's been healthier and had some time with Seumalo, maybe there is something to that. Yeah, he has looked better. I mean, again, he's only had, 15 snaps that have been against an opponent, so let's see how that growing goes. But considering the first couple of days, when there were a couple of spin moves and Herbig got by him and, you know, everybody thought, oh, my gosh, this is going to be a disaster. It has come a long way since then, and I do think his arrow is pointing up. I want to see it in a game. He's going to have some moments. Every left tackle does, but an elite one. But let's see how he handles that adversity on the left side. I think that will be the true test. When he has a bad game, what's the next game look like?
Jeff, what do you think happens first? Cam Hayward to be a full participant in practice, or the Steelers sign another wide receiver?
I think this Cam thing might last a little bit. I think he'll probably. I'm going to guess he's still going to be out when cuts come, and I think when cuts come, they're going to go searching. So, I would say probably another wide receiver. I don't expect anyone with huge pedigree or somebody that's going to cost them a ton of money, not because cheap or anything, but we've looked at how they've used Darnell. Like, number two wide receiver isn't quite a luxury, but it's not something that you have to invest heavily in because you have a lot of other options, a lot of other weapons.
Jeff, how do you think this whole Cam Hayward thing plays out? Because I heard a really interesting theory from Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette who said he thinks the Steelers will roll some money over, but they want to make this look agonizing so it doesn't look like they roll over right away. Is that what you see going down?
Yeah, and I want to give Starkey credit because he started a show yesterday. He's like, listen, this is all the Steelers making sure that everybody thinks, don't come to us. Like, we're going to make it hard. We're not going to say anything nice about Cam. We're not going to discuss it at all because we wanted to make sure that when you come to us, the only reason we made an exception here is because he's a 10-time captain and what he's done for the organization. So I think there's some truth in there, but I do think they're going to get a deal done. And as much as, you know, there's been so much talk about the defense, I mean, Cam wants to be a part of this. Yeah, he thinks he had some kind of deal that he didn't work into an agreement that Doug very well that pointed out very well with you guys yesterday. But I think he's going to play.
I might have missed it, or it might just not have happened, so you can tell us. Did anybody ask Rodgers about Cam potentially sitting out and what Cam had said about Rodgers on his podcast?
No. I think when we talked to him, I think a lot of us were like, we're early in this Rodgers relationship that's going to last all year. We'll save that for a little bit down the road. Maybe that's not the right thing to do, but I think you kind of build relationships with guys when you're in the media. And like, if you, I think a lot of us felt like we threw that out there. Maybe we wouldn't have gotten an answer. He's not going to tell us. And it could have made the next one not as open as we've gotten from him.
Yeah, whoever asked the question, it'd have been tough for them moving forward. Mm-hmm. It's easy for me to say
right on high.
And listen, and there are times to ask those questions. Absolutely. I'm not saying that that's the case, but given that it just kind of happened, he's new to the team. I don't know if now is the time to ask that.
Yeah. All right, last thing, Jeff. Chris Boswell. What happens there?
I think they get a deal done there. I mean, he's got one more year on the contract. And listen, they brought Ben Sulls in. It's been a great opportunity for Sulls. He was awesome on Saturday. But I do think, listen, those guys, there's a narrative, I think, with Boswell that, yes, did the other day on the first day, did he not show up to practice? Yes. But he was there for the last day of camp for all of it. He's been there for most of camp, even though he hasn't kicked a lot. Tomlin was talking to him just the other day in Latrobe. So I don't think there are issues. I think it's just contractually, what can they get to? And listen, they don't have to go far to make him the highest paid kicker if that's what he's looking for. It's what, $1.5 million, $1.7 million, something like that. So, I mean, we're not talking about a major jump.
You're going to say hi to Kalijah Kancey today?
Yeah. How about that? Servassier?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, this is going to be cool. I wish this was something we could report on, because what we're going to see is probably going to be physical, probably get it chippy at times. I mean, and this is a very, for lack of a better phrase, this is a very talky secondary the Steelers have. And there are some wide receivers with some tenure on that Tampa Bay side. This is going to be fun today.
If there's not a fight, I'll be shocked.
Oh, there absolutely is going to be a fight.
Were there always fights?
At least always.
A scrum.
Always.
At least a scrum. Yeah.
Jeff, this was wonderful. It always is. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you after preseason game number two.
Thanks, boys.
You're the man.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Hathorn.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Oh. We do love this song.
Yes, we do. We get very pumped when this song is played on this show.
For a pro wrestling Hall of Famer who really needs no introduction, he's coming to Pittsburgh to take in the Riverhounds Charleston Battery soccer match Saturday night at Highmark Stadium. And we are absolutely thrilled and honored to have the great Jake the Snake Roberts with us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jake, this is a pro wrestling hotbed. Two out of the three hosts on this show are obsessed with wrestling. The one who's not as much was at the 1992 Royal Rumble. So we've got all our bases covered here. You're coming back to Pittsburgh. When you think of wrestling in Pittsburgh, what are the things that come to mind for you?
There is food. There used to be some great restaurants we'd go to after the shows, boy.
Who would you pal around with for those meals, Jake? Who were your guys in those spots?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Or The Undertaker, one of the two.
Were you ever present since
I've read many stories about this for like any of the Haku related legends that like if you were messing with, if you were in Haku's group outside the ring, you didn't have to worry about anything, and that anyone who stepped to that dude was in big trouble. Can you corroborate any of the Haku stories that are out there?
I was there for one, but actually two. We were in Baltimore, and I was sitting at a bar at the Holiday Inn. And he came up to me and he says, "Let's go." I said, "Well, where are we going to go?" And he said, the name of this place, I think it's a bicycle club or something like that.
Yeah.
And I said, "Man, we don't need to go there." I said, "Every time we go there, there's always problems and they don't want us there. They don't like us. But I say we go." And I didn't think about it. We should go. So we hopped in the car. We went over there. We've been in there maybe 5 minutes. And the guy gets right in Haku's face. And he's like, "We don't want you some bitches in here." You know, blah, 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 blah. And Haku just says, "Move your face." And the guy didn't move. And he said it again. The guy didn't move. Next thing I know, Haku's reached up and grabbed him by the back of the head and bit his friggin' nose off.
Wow.
Just bit the whole nose off, man, and spit it in the floor.
Man.
Like it was nothing.
I mean, you're a tough customer. You see that happen. Are you at least a little bit startled and taken aback by it, Jake?
I peed myself. Are you kidding?
I'll be honest. I thought you were going to say, like, he just beat the tar out of him. I did not expect to hear bit his entire nose off.
Wow.
Just bit his nose off and spit it in the floor, man.
Jake, you've probably answered this question before, but I personally have not heard your answer. Mm. Were you inclined and into snakes before you adopted that gimmick, or did they say that that would work for you and then you had to like become a lover of snakes and have a snake on the road with you and bring the snake to the ring and whatnot?
Well, actually, it all started with me riding down the road, you know, wrong road trips, and boys will be boys, and we were smoking pot and drinking beer. It was listening to Monday Night Football, and they were talking about Kenny Stabler.
Yeah.
And I love Kenny Stabler. He was my guy. But, you know, left-handed, wild man, crazy partier, did it all. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just kept smoking that joint, man. And, you know, it'd be really cool if there was a wrestler named The Snake, you know. And going and drinking and going and drinking, and then I came up with Jake the Snake, and that was it. And I thought about it, you know, about carrying a snake, but that's as far as it went because I'm terrified of snakes.
I didn't know that.
So, all those years working with like Damien, did you ever get over the fear and say like, "All right, I'm comfortable with this now"?
Of course not.
But you have the snake bite Macho Man once, or am I just a mark for thinking that that happened?
No, it bit Macho Man.
Was that a cobra or was that Damien?
Yeah, it was a cobra.
Okay, so they took the venom sacs out and had it bite Macho, and he actually bled. Yep.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it chewed him for a long period of time, man. Just kept chewing on him. It was pretty awesome.
Did it ever bite you?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah. The cobra bites aren't bad. Those pythons hurt.
Well, yeah, because the jaws, I would imagine, are a lot stronger. The cobra, if it's actually got the poisons, just letting that do its work.
A cobra doesn't have fangs. It has teeth.
Mm. Oh,
so it's not so bad, you know. But those fangs, man, from a python, man, they hurt.
Jake, I am much more like Andrew here is the one who was at the 92 Rumble. Donnie, our producer, and myself are kind of the guys who are very into the pro wrestling scene. And I would say in my case especially, I kind of grew up as a teenager in the Attitude Era. And I'm wondering what your memories of, and you were a guy obviously known for the promos, for the snake pit, for like just creating that atmosphere and being great on the mic. What are your memories of King of the Ring 96 Austin's going over you to win the King of the Ring, yeah. And then that promo that he cut, did you have, like, any input? Did you tell him before the match anything, like,
no.
Ideas for stuff he could say?
No. That was all him.
Did you know when you were hearing it, you're walking out of the arena, he's yelling, like, right up there on, you know, Michael P.S. Hayes yeah. is up there. Did you hear him, get that piece of trash out of here, et cetera.
Oh,
did
yeah.
you know you were hearing something incredible right there in the moment? Like, you have that sense, oh, man, this guy's going off. This is going to be phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I felt it.
Jake, you mentioned that you'd pal around with Hacksaw, who we had on the show last year, and The Undertaker. You also had some run-ins with Andre the Giant, obviously. Mm-hmm. Did you ever go out with him? Like, the stories we hear about him as an eater and a drinker, are they as epic and legend? Yes, they are. They are very legendary?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I rode a road trip with him once, and it was only 100 miles, and he wanted two cases of beer.
That's like 2 hours. That's like 2 hours of driving.
For when you guys got to the hotel?
He was gone. It was all gone.
He drank 48 beers in like an hour and a half.
That didn't bother me so much, him drinking it, as the fact that he didn't pee.
That's a good point.
That's kind of wild.
What was he like, Jake?
Oh, he was good, man. He didn't take no BS from anybody.
Isn't there a story that he kind of tested you in one of the first matches you worked with him as part of a program? How'd that go?
Yeah, I lost my mind and went off on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he respected that.
Was it because, like, correct me if I'm wrong here, the story I remember hearing is that, like, he essentially didn't sell any offense for you, you know, selling. You got to, like, make the other guy's moves look good like they hurt, and he just basically no-sold you for a whole match?
Yep.
Jake the Snake Roberts with us. Jake, so you were a huge Ken Stabler fan. I guess that means you probably hated the Steelers in the 70s, right?
Yep.
Who was your least favorite Steeler on those teams?
Oh, my God. All of them. Every friggin' one of them.
I would imagine Jack Swan. Lambert would have ticked you off.
Probably Lynn Swan, he goes. Obviously, Hulk Hogan passed away recently. What was your relationship like with him, Jake? You've probably been asked that question a million times. But reflecting on his life and wrestling career, what do you say about him now?
He was a great man. Phenomenal athlete and wrestler. You know, you don't say wrestling without saying Hulk Hogan.
Were you ever scheduled to work, like, any lengthy programs with him or anything?
We were, but they got kapushed because the fans were chanting DDT.
Wait, you were obviously, he never worked as a heel till the NWO, basically.
Right.
So you were supposed to be the heel, and the fans liked you too much?
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, what emotions are playing in your mind there? It's cool to get, like, cheered as the bad guy because that means you're doing a badass heel gimmick, but I would imagine you wanted probably to do a program with Hulk.
Oh, damn right I did. That's where the money was at.
By the way, speaking of...
We wrestled twice.
And they just chanted for you as the good guy.
Yep.
What's his reaction? I'm curious. You're in the ring. He hears the fans chanting for you. They want you to win, even though they're supposed to be cheering for him. Would he, like, whisper to you in the ring, like, this is ridiculous? Like, how did he react?
Yeah, would he get pissed, Jake?
Oh, yeah. He voiced his opinion about it. He said, bro, we're going to have a rough night.
We mentioned earlier that you were great at being able to, like, set up matches and sell matches with the things you said in the recorded promo parts that are integral to wrestling. How much of that was off the cuff? How much of that was scripted? What was your process for that kind of stuff, Jake?
All of it was off the cuff. You know, I just had a knack for it. And, you know, I would go to bars and sit there for 2 or 3 hours and write down promos on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd go to the building. When it's time to go to work, I'd pull out those pieces of paper and look at them and take it and go with it.
Were you ever caught, like, going, I kind of forgot what I wanted to say? Like, how much truly off the cuff did you have to do sometimes?
I was
going to
say, at least you were sober enough where those notes made sense, Jake.
Yeah, well, some of them scared me. You read something, you go, what the hell was I thinking about?
Yeah.
Great point.
Hey, you just said fans would chant DDT when you were supposed to be the bad guy. Speaking mm-hmm. of that move, you invented it. Like, where's yeah. that move come from? And then I have like a second question there once you tell us where it came from and the idea for the move. I still watch wrestling now, and it bums me out that a move like the DDT, where you would, you know, kind of waggle your finger in the air and everybody knew it was getting ready for it, and you'd set it up, yeah. you'd hit it 1, 2, 3 matches over. Does it bum you out at all if you see wrestling today that stuff like that or Shawn Michaels' super kick are like transition moves now in matches? Nobody's finishing with a DDT anymore.
Well, you know, all they're doing is telling everybody that I was that much better than they are.
Fair.
Very good.
That's a good point.
You know, and as far as how the move happened, it was an accident. You know, I was working a front face lock on a guy, and he went to push me into the corner, and he stepped on my foot, and we both fell. Well, really? Knocked him out.
So did you have to pin him at that point? Because you just were like, well, he's out cold, so the match has to end?
No, I just rolled him up and grabbed the arm and played with him for a while.
Jake, if you...
When did you know, though, that that move was, like, over it? Like, you okay, so that happens. It's an
I
accident.
Knew right
when
then.
Did you? When did you know that you had something on it?
Right then? Yeah, because the people just went, you know, and I knew right at the bat that I had to work on that.
Jake, who would you put on your all-time pro wrestling Mount Rushmore?
Oh, God. I don't know, bro. Hogan for sure. Flair for sure.
Yep.
After that, it's kind of wide open.
Who was your favorite guy to work with?
Probably Steamboat or Savage.
Was Savage as in terms of like planning out a match? How was he beforehand? Nuts.
He was nuts. I used to drive him crazy because we'd plan out a match and then I'd go in the ring and not do any of it.
wait, would he like? Was he off out of the ring and not cutting promos? Would he talk like in that voice doing normal things? Yep. Like if he's going through the drive through, oh, have a burger and fries.
No
man.
Way.
Yep. Yep.
Wow. Who
yeah,
were
he was my show 24 hours a day, brother.
Who were the guys that you worked with that weren't good at like selling the moves that actually would try to beat the crap out of you in there, Jake?
Oh, Vader.
Oh, man. So he was, yeah, he was the stiffest
guy. Wasn't he a football player?
Yeah, he was the stiffest guy I've heard of. Sir,
interesting.
For sure, Jake.
Oh, he was a real turd.
What was the worst injury you ever had in the ring?
Oh, my neck. 2 discs blown in my neck.
Total accident?
No, not as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, geez.
That was a guitar shot. Honky-tonk hit me with.
Oh, and they weren't made, and were those guitars made to break as easily? Was it a bad prop or what?
It was a bad prop.
Oh, geez. Wow. Well, Jake, we appreciate so much of this. Thank you for coming on with us, and people are
no
pumped
problem.
To see you on Saturday, man. You're going to be in Pittsburgh. The game's at 7, gates open. Before that, you'll be there signing autographs, taking pictures with people. Obviously,
yeah, we're going to have a good time, man.
For sure. And your character has lived on all these years later, so thanks for joining
Iconic.
Us, brother.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
There you go, Jake the Snake Roberts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Donor advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.